Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Always had an amazing first hour. Looking forward to hour number two. Once again, it's time to open up the mic and welcome back Shay Raftus, our producer at SB Nation. And I tell you what, Shay, already talked about the Ohio State situation, that scandal, what's going on. We're going to ultimately see how this plays out. Let's talk now. We're going to be talking some Big 12 football later in the show with Steve Habel from Horns Illustrated. What are your thoughts? What do you see how it's going to play out for the Big 12 this year? Oklahoma's at the top, but after that, it's pretty wide open.
See, I do think Oklahoma has to be considered the favorite going in, but I'm not 100% sure they should be the clear-cut number one, because I'm not as high on Kyler Murray as some. I think he's a little bit inaccurate. I worry about him as far as actually, he obviously he's a great runner, but I don't know if he's as good of a thrower as Baker Mayfield, and will he be able to execute that offense at a high enough level? I think they're the best team going in, but I think it's much more wide open than people think. I think we have Oklahoma, obviously, had to put up there, though, because of the talent they have. Texas, I think, again, they went 6-6, 7-6 last year. But look, it really comes down to the play calling and quarterback for them. If they have both of that, they'll be in terrific shape, because they do have top 15, to me, at worst talent. So they could, you know, in the second year under a coach is usually where they take that next step under Herman. This is a big year for him. So I could see it going either way for them, 10-2 or even a 7-5 if things go bad. Then you have West Virginia, who has the best quarterback in the league. And, you know, a lot of people are very, very high on him as a dark horse playoff contender. We'll see what happens. And then TCU, who is always a standby, probably with the best coach in the conference in Gary Patterson. Mm-hmm. They have an early test against Ohio State in Dallas the third week of the season. That'll be a huge gauge to see where they're at, breaking in a new quarterback. And they're also inexperienced on the offensive line. But I do think TCU could be a dangerous team in the Big 12, and I could see them winning it as well.
TCU, always a dangerous team. How do you think that game, let's give a quick preview, how do you think that's going to play out?
Well, again, a lot of it depends on the coaching for Ohio State. But I think it's going to be a tough matchup for them, especially early in the season, because remember, TCU's iffy up front. They're rebuilding the offensive line just a little bit. So I think when you have Chase Young and Nick Bosa, who are two of the best defensive ends in the country, that's going to be a very, very tough matchup for them, especially with TCU breaking in a new quarterback. Can they win? Because yes, they can win that game because they're playing close to home and Gary Patterson's really good. But I mean, I would favor Ohio State in that matchup just because of superior talent and then the mismatch up front, particularly on the defensive line.
Hey, we got you covered. Going to be talking some Big 12 football here in hour number two. Steve Habel, Horns Illustrated, the senior contributing writer, will be with us a little bit later. Also, the sideline reporter for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, that is Robert Allen. So much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Tonight, we are so excited about our next segment because we have selected a wonderful book, in fact, a wonderful biographer in sports and entertainment who has produced several bestsellers. We are going to examine the lives and the lineage of the Manning family, one of the great family dynasties in the NFL. It's such a true pleasure to have with us tonight. And that is Mark Grabowski, who is with us. Of course, he's got his new book out. It is titled In the Name of the Father, Family, Football, and the Manning Dynasty. Welcome to the show.
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And certainly, Mark, you know, so much has been chronicled through the years about this extraordinary family. Share with us, let's start off with, you know, what makes your book different than the other ones? Because there's, you know, so much that the readers want to know, but what makes this one different?
Yeah, I don't know if the Manning family has even been written about properly. I mean, beyond sort of a fanzine, hagiographic kind of way, you know. I saw it as a great Southern story. I do a lot. I'm a New York boy, but I'm fascinated by the culture of the South, literature of the South. I mean, I did a book about Tom Landry, which was, you know, rich in that Texas soil, you know, and then, you know, I've done a lot of music books about, you know, Hank Williams and, you know, guys from that Southern culture, the great bluesmen from the South. Probably the best literature and music that America has ever had has come from the South. And this is just another tributary of that. I mean, this is the there's nothing more south than the Manning dynasty. In fact, they might be the last great Southern family dynasty because of the cultural changes and political changes in the South. You got to remember that when Archie was a young man and he, you know, was playing for Ole Miss, probably the greatest Southern athlete of his era, he used to come onto the field before games carrying the Confederate flag.
Wow.
The strains of Dixie, you know, with Colonel Reb, and, you know, I mean, it was, and no one thought anything of it. It wasn't a political thing with Archie. It was just a cultural thing. He'd grown up in the Mississippi mud in the Delta, you know, and his father was a great Ole Miss fan, and, you know, they were steeped in that culture. And that still is the way with them. They carried on in a time when the culture was changing, yet they upheld the culture without there being any kind of political or social bent to it, just as sons of the South. I think it's amazing. You know, listening to them, none of them have a Southern accent. They grew up in New
That's
Orleans,
true,
but
yeah.
None of them have a Southern accent. Even Archie grew up in Mississippi. It's like they're sort of a neutral presence, but culturally, they are steeped in that Southern culture. And I wanted the book to read almost like a novel or almost like a Tennessee Williams play because of all those different strains. So it's much more than a sports story, I think.
He is a best-selling author, prolific, produced over 15 books, Mark Hrabowski, with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, The Big East Sports Show. His latest release is titled In the Name of the Father, Family, Football, and the Manning Family. You just mentioned the father, of course, Archie Manning, and he certainly was. Mark, a big-time star at Ole Miss, SEC Player of the Year award in 1969, and just a big hero to so many at Ole Miss. Share as far as some of the adversity that he battled through and that you shared in the book in terms of his father committed suicide. How was the impact of that, and how did that change him as a parent?
Yeah, in fact, in the name of the father sort of has a dual meaning because the first father was his father, Buddy Manning, and that's the man who committed suicide. His body found by Archie. Archie was only 20 years old at the time. He had played 1 year at Ole Miss. He was home for the summer. Nobody was home in the house except his father, and he came home, and he found him dead. He had rigged this elaborate contraption to kill himself with a shotgun, hooking it up to a stick with a string at the correct angle and all. I mean, it's an eerie, Twilight Zone-ish kind of story.
Oh, dear.
And imagine being 19, 20 years old and finding your father like that. That was the day that Archie Manning became a man because, you know, he was a star athlete in high school and, you know, living a fantasy life. That was the day that he really learned what life was about. And I think it affected him greatly through the years, probably still does. He tried to put it out of his mind. A lot of stories done on him at the time didn't mention that. It was sort of almost like a stigma, you know, that they didn't want to put on him that stigma of being the son of a man who killed himself. And it was sort of a hidden story for years, almost like a secret. You know, it wasn't until many years later that the story came out in full. But he had to live with that, and he became a man, and I think it influenced him in bringing up his three sons. I mean, they did a tremendous job bringing up the three sons. And I give the credit to that to his mother, Olivia, Archie's wife, who was the polar opposite of Archie. You know, a very gregarious and you know, highly intelligent woman who had to bring them up almost by herself because Archie was an absentee father much of the time. And that's all in the book, too. Overcoming the adversity, bringing up children, moving to New Orleans, having to go through those horrific years in New Orleans with the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, just think if Archie had been drafted by Tom Landry at the time instead of the Saints.
Oh.
He would have been the first Roger Staubach in Dallas, because he was such a great quarterback, he never could show it as a pro, and he had to live with that failure. But that's one of the themes of the book, living with failure, because Peyton had to live with so much failure, and Eli, too, so much failure, before they got to their glory moments that it's almost Shakespearean, and it's sweet.
It is a fascinating read. It is titled In the Name of the Father, and I can tell you right now, we are already running out of time. We definitely are going to have you back to take a deeper dive into your book. Mark Hrabowski with us, of course, the author of 15 books and his latest, In the Name of the Father. You know, talking about Archie Manning, what kind of sports parent was he? You know, did he push his sons to follow in his footsteps into football and into the NFL?
No, he wanted them to do their own thing, find their own way. He gave them their natural ability, his DNA. In fact, his oldest son, Cooper, was supposedly the best athlete of the three sons, but Cooper went to Ole Miss, and he never played because he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis. It was a great tragedy for the family. And Peyton was going to go there and throw him touchdowns, and when that happened, he decided he didn't even want to go to Ole Miss, and he went to Tennessee instead, which crushed Archie, but he, you know, it was Peyton becoming a man his own way. And that's the way Archie wanted it to be. He wanted to make their own decision, go their own way, succeed or fail on their own. And I think that's part of the reason why they found so much greatness.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're talking about Cooper. His athletic career was cut short. Did that provide extra motivation for Peyton and for Eli?
Yeah, well, it devastated them because they looked up to Cooper.
Right.
Cooper was the best athlete. He wasn't a quarterback. He was a receiver. But he was the best athlete of the family, the best looking, the most intelligent. I mean, he makes about $12 million a year as an energy trader. Don't be feeling too star anymore.
Uh-huh.
But he never had the fame, you know, as the football player. And the other brothers felt that. You know, they felt that. I mean, it was crushing because, you know, it was like Cooper wrote in Peyton's yearbook, "I'm going to live my dream through you." I mean, how touching is that, right, for a kid, teenage kid, to write something like that? And they had to live with that their whole lives. But again, it gave them that added dimension, that extra perspective, that life is not guaranteed, that you never know what's around the corner, and you have to deal with it. And that's been their philosophy that's carried them through. You know, there's been a Manning at quarterback 33 of the last 47 NFL seasons. Now, that's a dynasty.
Absolutely. Hey, Mark Hrabowski with us about another minute. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I'll just say, let me just wrap it up with this. I mean, you did a beautiful job just accounting, you know, so many of the highs, the lows, you know, the triumph and the loss. But really, the Manning brand overall, just talk about, you know, they did an amazing job as far as savvy marketing, and they've been able to capitalize it throughout the years.
Always. And Peyton majored in that at Tennessee. He didn't just go there to become a quarterback.
Sure.
I mean, he stayed the extra year, too, to play there. And he graduated in, you know, marketing and communications. And this guy knows what he's doing. You know, he's got a way about him. We haven't heard the last from him, obviously. His jersey is still the second or third best-selling jersey in the NFL 3 years after his retirement. And he could do anything. He could be an actor. He could do whatever he wants to do. They have tremendous talent and the business aspect, which, you know, I, again, you're right. I lay that at Peyton's door. He's the business head as far as the sports marketing brand. He's the head of that. He knew what he was doing. And he's even as a rookie, he knew what he was doing. He did things as a rookie that no rookie had ever done as far as branching out and, you know, corporatizing himself. So give him credit for that, too.
The title of the book is The Name of the Father. We've been talking and going one-on-one with the author, and that is Mark Hrabowski with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. What an illuminating segment on perhaps the most illustrious football family when we talk about the Mannings. Congratulations, Mark. I promise it went by way too fast. We will have you back again real soon. Thank you so much. True pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at the Next Generation of Sports Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is Friday night. Welcome back to the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio, and I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different platforms and ways to connect with us. We love to hear from all of our listeners at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show. I know you love our guests. info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to each and every interview. And before we get ready for our next segment, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised before the commercial break, I said we've got an interesting and really cool segment coming up. We're going to be visiting with the CEO of the Franklin Group. They design, they print innovative marketing materials and promotional products for a wide range of sports organizations, anyone from the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NC2A. The Franklin Group is, it's really interesting. I mean, they have been partners with over 70 pro and collegiate teams with all these different promotional items. You know, when you get the free towel, when you're at the NBA game, where you see those bobbleheads. So interested to have Steve Zoller with us tonight for the very first time. Good evening, Steve. Nice to have you.
Hi, good evening, Alyssa. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we've got a lot of different topics that we want to talk about. But first and foremost, share a little bit about, as far as your background and your journey, how did you get started in this business?
I got started in 1988. I had gone to a college. I graduated in accounting and business. And from there, I went into the printing and promotional business. Started out small with a small group of people and grew it from there.
And what do you think is the biggest challenge as you kind of reflect over what the past 30 years, what are some of the biggest challenges in terms of that you've had to overcome? Because I'm sure it's very competitive out there when you're trying to partner with so many of these high profile organizations and teams.
Yeah, so over time, different challenges. When we first started out, we focused a lot on the printing, the paper print, part of the business. As time grew on, we took on the promotional product part of it, and we got into the promotional part of it. We got into the social media part, the website part of it. Becoming more of a marketing firm as opposed to just the print, because print, a lot of people, with digital out there today, which wasn't around 30 years ago. There is less print out there, but we found that to be a little bit of a challenge. But we overcame that with going into the promotional aspect of it. But print is coming back. We see that a lot more, that print today is coming back, and people are going to. I mean, we just saw even the other day with Barnes and Noble's print.
Nice.
The printing of books. Definitely is coming back, and numbers are up. So those were challenges. Always being just trying to be innovative, trying to be on top of the game of what we're doing, and always be transparent at what we're doing.
Hey, the CEO of the Franklin Group, you can check them out, franklingroup.com. Steve Zoller is with us. He represents partnerships with sports teams, pro, college, so many different things. And I have to wonder, Steve, thinking about, as I was preparing for this interview, what all you go through. I mean, the demands of this business must be really intense at times because, you think about during the NBA playoffs, sometimes there's a quick turnaround when teams need a t-shirt or those towels to hand out. There's a lot of pressure because you're trying to fulfill the ultimate fan experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our goal, and what we're doing is to truly enhance the fan experience by supporting our partners and the teams with creative and thoughtful solutions. Whether it's a rally towel, a t-shirt, a bobblehead, we love that a fan could take home an item from a sporting event and that, it always reminds them of that special experience that they had as a friend, as a family member, or a business associate. These items truly last a lifetime. So creating these experiences and creating the experience, that's what fan experience, that's what it's about today. I was at a meeting yesterday mm-hmm. in San Jose, one of our partners, the San Jose Sharks, and the discussion was around fan experience. They won a lot of different awards with J.D. Power in terms of fan experience and creating that that ultimate fan experience that's the level the highest level. So we're working together with the marketing teams, with our partners, making sure and ensuring that the fan experience is the number one goal.
Okay, Steve. Who was your first team partnership? And kind of share a little bit about as far as how that all came together. You got that big break.
Yeah, so our first sports partnership was the Brooklyn Sports and Entertainment, which includes the Brooklyn Nets and Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. They, that also includes, the Islanders. The Brooklyn Sports has grown over the years into, different theaters and also the Nassau Coliseum. When they were, when the Barclays, before the Barclays Center was built in Brooklyn, about a couple of years before that, I had reached out to the New Jersey Nets at the time, looking for an opportunity to partner with a Brooklyn-based company that would be able to work with them on their projects as they moved into Brooklyn. So that was, where it started from. That opportunity, once I reached out and once I developed that relationship, that's a relationship that has grown tremendously over the years. But, it's one that I respect very much. There's, it's led by Brett Yarmack and his team. I work with Freddie Mangione and Dan Lefton and, Alyssa Padilla and Elizabeth Brooks, really people that were, from the marketing side and also from the partnership side, of people that are respected within the communities and respected within the sports industry, and people that I've been able to learn a lot from, and I still have very tied, strong tied relationships with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have moved on to other teams and other organizations that, that we work with today. And, so it's a small world out there with the sports world and, many good people that I've been fortunate enough to partner together with.
And it's all about who you know. It's about relationships. And those referrals, those are key because there always is movement. Folks are moving around and you want to have that great reputation. And obviously you've been able to establish some long-term relationships.
Yeah, it's very important. I just had a meeting just, you know, a half hour ago with, you know, a partner of ours, Learfield Sport, you know, Learfield in the
sure.
college space.
Yeah.
You know, we have, you know, we a half hour ago met with Bill Hirsch, who I do a lot of work with in terms of the collegiate teams that we deal with. And, you know, I was just talking to him, you know, as part of the discussion now, just a review, you know, we're servicing a lot of their colleges. And I said, you know, by the way, I just, you know, I'm focusing on Miami a little bit. You know, we have a partnership with Miami Heat, with the Marlins. You know, we just did a deal with, you know, with, you know, Miami Speedway, with, you know, with the NASCAR. And he looked at me, he's like, Stephen, you don't realize the person that's running, that you're probably dealing with over there is someone that used to work for Learfield, and he probably got you from there. So, I didn't realize that at the time. It's a small world, but, you know, it's also interesting. There's a lot of the business that we get from today is referrals. There are people in many different places that, you know, that we're dealing with that are coming from just different opportunities that we've met across the way. So it's always good to see that. Always good to have a good name in the industry. And that name takes you forward.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Voice, Steve Zoeller. He's the CEO of the Franklin Group, franklingroup.com. Of course, designing, printing, innovative marketing materials. Of course, many of those products that we see when we go to sporting events, the bobblehead, the free towels. What are some of the other products that you make and you manufacture?
Oh, so in terms of the type of items that we manufacture bobbleheads, we manufacture rally towels. We'll do many, you know, t-shirts, you know, rally towels, t-shirts, bobbleheads. We'll do many different kind of giveaways. We'll also do, you know, the basic, you know, game day programs. We'll also do, you know, collateral, yearbooks, different things like that that are printed, mailings that you're getting when you're showing up to an event, lanyards or credentials. I mean, anything that you can think of that, you know, that resonates with the fans, that's really what we're doing. We're printing anything. There's a, you know, if it's a wristband or it's, you know, we did a wristband. You know, one of our partners, the Washington Capitals, you know, when they won the Stanley Cup,
sure.
you know, they had the, you know, the parade, you know, so there were things that they wanted to give out, you know, at the parade. We manufactured those type of things, you know, always within a quick turnaround, need to not get it done quickly, you know, at a good price and also, you know, in a perfect manner.
Why do you think why the dolls, they resonate so strongly with the fans? We've got several, my boys, they love them.
Yeah, really. Bobbleheads have become a big thing out there. They're so highly regarded for hardcore sports fans. You know, they look at them as a true collectible to keep on their desk at work or above their fireplace at home. You know, they're very unique because they will never be, you know, they really can't never be duplicated again and are usually very limited in quantity. Teams we work with just love using them to enhance the fan experience and really connect stronger with their fans. The players who we use as the subject of a bobblehead really get a kick out of them as well. So I really think that, you know, bobbleheads have become a big thing out there. They're only getting, you know, it's only becoming bigger. It's always also interesting to see that, you know, how many different type of people are using the bobbleheads, where, you know, in so many different industries today. So I think it's a tool that we can utilize a lot more in terms of marketing. I showed up to a sports team, you know, in the Midwest about a month ago. And I walked into the lobby, and there was a huge bobblehead just in the lobby. You know, you would think it's a corporate office, very corporate, but a huge bobblehead just waiting for me, waiting to greet all the visitors, which is really interesting. You would have never thought you would have seen that 10 years ago.
That is the ultimate meet and greet. And, of course, we're talking with Steve Zoeller, the CEO of the Franklin Group. Steve had mentioned it was founded in 1988. Of course, prints promotional items for 70 professional teams, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NCAA. As we get ready to close out our interview, Steve, do you foresee printing and promotional items having an impact on the emerging of esports industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the esports industry is growing in leaps and bounds, and I can see a future in a series of bobbleheads of some of the most, you know, most popular esports athletes in the country and around the world. If you've ever attended, you know, any of these big esports events, I mean, they have them all the time. I mean, we do just one at Barclays a few weeks ago. You know, there's nothing like you have ever seen before. You know, they're sold out arenas watching the best esports athletes, and the audience just is in awe of all their abilities. You know, I can really see Franklin making a big splash in the esports industry in the next 6 to 12 months. We are currently working on, you know, some major deals, with teams in the NBA 2K League, in the Overwatch League, and in different leagues. And, you know, we definitely see an opportunity in this industry, and we feel that it's one of growth, and, you know, we're keeping a very close eye on it.
Oh, the Franklin Group, they make things happen. Check them out, franklingroup.com. Promotional products for so many different things. Give them, as I said, a follow, and check them out. franklingroof.com. We've been visiting with the CEO, and that is Steve Zoeller. Thank you so much, Steve. First time on the show. We look forward to another conversation down the road.
Thank you so much, Alyssa, for having me, and look forward as well.
You bet. Much more coming your way. Fastest 2 hours in radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Before we get underway with our next segment, we want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. It's true, the countdown is on to the start of the 2018 college football season, and the Texas Longhorns certainly looking to stride out this year and take a big step forward. Tom Herman already in his second season. Expectations high for the Longhorns, and certainly excited to have back with us. That is the senior contributing writer from Horns Illustrated, hornsillustrated.com, Mr. Steve Habel. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Alyssa. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's great to have you on. Hard to believe the start of the college football season is already here. And when we dissect it and break it down, zeroing in on the Big 12 Conference, Oklahoma is at the top. But after that, it's pretty wide open. How do you envision this season playing out for your Texas Longhorns?
Well, you know, Alyssa, the conference may be down a little bit from the where it's been in the past. I still think you got to look beyond OU to TCU. And I like West Virginia as a team. I like their quarterback. I think he's a guy that can really make things happen. He's going to be a Heisman contender. Texas is better. They're going to be better. They're just a few points and a couple of plays away from a couple, three more wins last year. And I think that Coach Herman feels like he's got a team that can make some things happen. It's pretty important these first three games of the year at Maryland, at home against Tulsa, and then at home against USC, which will be a big one. And then conference play is never easy, so we're thinking that Texas is going to take a stride forward, but they have a lot of questions to answer.
Steve, what was the main focus in the offseason so they can move ahead?
Well, they've got a new offensive line coach, Herb Hand, who was at Auburn. He's one of the best in the business, and that was one of Texas's real weaknesses last year. They had some injuries in the offensive line, and they really couldn't block for the running game, so Texas hopes to be better with the running game. Quarterback-wise, they have to decide who's going to be the quarterback there between Sam Erlinger and Shane Buechele. It's still an issue that was starting last year and continues on to this year, even though Erlinger looks like he has the upper hand at the early part of fall camp. Texas lost a lot of players on a defense that was number two ranked in the conference. Given all that, I think that Herman really just wanted to make sure that the guys were stronger, in better shape, the second year of his agenda there at Texas. So he thinks that they are better. We're only barely into camp here, a week into camp, and just a few days into actually full pad practice. So there's a lot to be decided between now and September 1st.
You are listening to the voice, Steve Habel, Horns Illustrated. He is the senior contributing writer, and we were talking about the main focus in the offseason. You just mentioned fall camp. What has been the point of emphasis and what they are trying to accomplish in some of those goals, Steve?
Well, they need to find a coefficient offensive line, like I was saying. They've got a guy named Calvin Anderson, who came in as a graduate assistant from Rice. He was a three-time Conference USA player. He's going to be competitive at left tackle. And they've got some returners. They've got to find a running game. Trey Watson is another graduate transfer from Cal when he was out last year with a knee injury. He's still not been cleared for full contact practice with Texas here in the preseason camp. So they expect him to get some reps and the other running backs to be a little bit better, because most of the guys last year that did the damage were freshmen. Mm-hmm. So they should be better. Quarterback, this is a quarterback league, Alyssa. I don't have to tell you that.
Sure.
So that's who's going to drive. He's driving everything. We think that Texas is going to be a good defensive team again. Todd Orlando, their defensive coordinator, is par excellence as far as the defensive coordinator. But they still got to score. And that's the difference in this conference, is that if it's the Big Ten, you can probably get away with having a defense and getting away with 17 points a game. But I don't think that's the case in the Big 12. And that's where the big questions are for Texas, is on the offensive side more than anything.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, offensively, is this a team, when we talk about the Longhorns, can they crank it up? Can they really, you know, boost that production as you're talking about?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, they Sam Erlinger, the quarterback, was a freshman last year. He's kind of a tough guy. Can throw the ball well, but he made some bonehead decisions at times last year. We expect him to take a step forward. Shane Buechele is a good quarterback in situations. Don't know if he's the guy who you really want being the starter all the time. If he had your druthers, he's got a lot of moxie, but you know, he's, as compared to some of the other guys in the league, that's a whole different story. They've got a great set of receivers with Calvin Johnson. I'm sorry, Colin Johnson, who is a potential All-American candidate, big body, big target, can get down the field. Little Jordan Humphrey is going to be on the other side offensively as a wide receiver. He's grown up a lot, and he's a viable second, 1A even. He's that good. I think that the main thing to make the Texas offense work is that they have to have some contribution from the tight end. It seems like that's been an issue for a long time at Texas, even back in the days when they were really good with JerMichael Finley and David Thomas back in the days of 2005, 2006. And they need to get some offensive contribution from the tight end, no doubt.
Hey, the senior contributing writer, Horns Illustrated, hornsillustrated.com. Steve Havel back with us, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports. We don't want to get too far into this interview. Love to hear from all of our listeners. I know you guys are really excited about the start of the college football season. You can send us a tweet at eradiosportspodcastarena.com. Always email the show at info@eradiosports.com. And certainly, Steve, I think you would agree with this. It's one of the biggest mysteries coming up and leading into the 2018 season in terms of who will be starting at quarterback. You had mentioned Shane Buechele and Sam. Who has your trust? If you could anoint anyone, who would that be, Steve?
I think that's Herman. I'm not going to anoint anybody. That's not my job. But I think
you're an important guy.
I think Coach Herman would like to have Sam be the guy.
You do. Okay.
He's always liked Sam. I think that that Sam, you know, has the run pass option because he's a bigger body that Coach Herman likes. I think that that Sam is going to be better as a sophomore. You know, he made some crazy end of game throws that cost Texas some games last year and some turnovers. They expect him to grow from that. I think the team likes both quarterbacks, but they like the fact that Sam can really inflict his will on a game, as it were, more than Shane Buechele. So I think that if Sam can stay healthy, he had a concussion issue last year, and how many, he only had one specified concussion, but he got his bell rung a couple of other times as well. So we'll see if he can stay healthy for the whole season, and if he does, then I think he'll take a step forward.
You know, some curiosity, we talked about Sam and Shane, but who did they sign? Who did the Longhorns sign in the off season so they have depth at the QB position?
You know, they got a couple of guys in. Casey Rising came in, and the other one, Thompson, Charles Thompson from Oklahoma's son, if you remember Charles Thompson's son.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he's here, and they're going to get some reps in practice. Rising is a little bit ahead of Thompson at this point. They've even talked about him getting some reps with the first team here in preseason drills, and Thompson being maybe a little bit behind from that situation. But, you know, you got two guys here that have had a lot of snaps for Texas, and those guys are going to be the focus on the quarterback unless something happens. You've even got a third guy that I hope they don't have to use, is Gerard Hurd, who's quarterback here as a freshman, and he's still hanging around as a wide receiver and hopefully catch more balls out of the slot this year than being an emergency quarterback type situation. So I think that you got to look, when you look at quarterback, you look at Sam Erlinger first, you look at Michelle with a 1A, and then you look at maybe Rising in case of an emergency situation, but I don't see that happening at this point.
You know, that's kind of an interesting story, talking about the young man, Casey Thompson from, Oklahoma. Charles Thompson's son, of course, you know, Charles was a quarterback at OU for Barry Switzer. What led to his decision to go to Texas and not stay there in the state of Oklahoma and go to OU? Just curious.
You know, I think that, you know, with kids these days, it's all about playing time.
Okay.
And maybe he saw somebody that was in front of him at OU that was coming in. OU's got a pretty strong incoming class as well. And I think maybe that he saw that, or the fact that, you know, that some of these kids are just contrary these days. They don't want to follow their father's footsteps as much as they want to set their own pace. So, Texas is a pretty good place to come play football.
Absolutely, sure.
I mean, OU is too. But, you know, maybe the fact that he's a run-pass option quarterback, maybe that had something to do with it as well, because of the Herman likes that situation. I know that that Coach Riley likes that at OU as well. He'd rather have more of a passing quarterback than a running quarterback. He's got a little bit of both this year too. But anyway, who can see what's going on in these 18-year-old kids' minds when they make their choice in time?
Hey, back in the day, you know, Peyton Manning, he didn't follow his dad to Ole Miss, Archie, right? He went to the University of Tennessee. He did his own thing and did mighty fine. So glad you're with us. A few more minutes. Steve Havel, Horns Illustrated. Check him out, hornsillustrated.com. He is the senior contributing writer, does an amazing job. And, you know, you had touched on just slightly in terms of Texas's defense, perhaps that there will be some improvement this year. That is going to be a point of emphasis. How much will they improve? And perhaps could you rank it within the Big 12 Conference? Where do you see that?
Well, Texas defense was pretty darn good last year. They were second in the conference, and they got better and better as the season went on, even though they had some injuries and some suspensions and lost a lot of their guys to, they lost five guys to NFL teams that are still on rosters. Mm-hmm. They've got their weakest, they're a little bit thin at linebacker. Gary Johnson, who was a transfer last year, very much Ballyhoo transfer from Alabama and from Dodge City Community College in Kansas. Is the real deal. He could be an off-conference player. In fact, I picked him as my conference player of the year. This is a kid who he's 6'1" and 250 and can run a 4.3 40. It's amazing what he can do sideline to sideline. Texas has some questions in the defensive line, but then they've also got guys like Brecken Hager, who's a real disruptor from the outside as a rushbacker. He really excelled last year when Coach Orlando instilled what they call their lightning defense, which was almost like almost a dime package with Hager rushing all the time. Hager came in at about 215 pounds, the linebacker to Texas. He's up to 265, 270 now. Just muscle over steel kind of a guy, and kind of a half a bubble off plumb. He runs hot and kind of crazy, so type of guy you need on a team every now and then. Texas is going to be super, super good in the defensive backfield. They still got some guys back. Devontae Davis, Chris Boyd is an all-conference preseason player. P.J. Locke, who was an All-American, preseason All-American last year until he got injured, is back. Josh Thompson at safety, who played a lot. And then you've got a freshman class coming in the defensive backfield that Texas has said is unparalleled in their history. So, athletes everywhere on defense, Alyssa.
That's amazing. I'm just listening to the optimism. I think you're smiling, Steve Havel. Pretty excited about the 2018 as we talk about the Texas Longhorns. You got to check out Steve Havel. Horns Illustrated, hornsillustrated.com. He is the senior contributing writer. What kind of articles can our listeners, what can they look forward to that's going to be coming up, Steve? Any profiles you want to share?
Well, our fall preview issue is out now, and we did an extensive feature on Colin Johnson, the wide receiver, and also on Brecken Hager, and we kind of did an outline on all the senior class, big senior class, not as big as it would have been because we had some junior guys go to the NFL last year, but just the fact that there's optimism abounds here. I mean, at this time of year, I think optimism abounds everywhere. But Texas is about ready to turn the corner. We think a lot of people here they think 9 or 10 wins is a realistic goal. I've picked them to win 8 games this year just because the conference is still a pretty tough deal. I'd like to see them overachieve that. And I think they'll win 8 games and win a bowl game. So if that's that, then they're moving forward, and that's really what they want.
We're breaking down the Big 12 Conference, specifically the Texas Longhorns, with Steve Havel, the senior contributing writer from Horns Illustrated. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin our conversation with the senior contributing writer from Horns Illustrated. That is Steve Havel. One quick question I want to talk to you about. Head coach Tom Herman, this is his second season, and when you were on the show in the spring, we talked about going in a positive direction, trending the right way, what, the third best recruiting class in the nation. Just overall, give us an assessment of the job that he's doing, and it seems like he's got your guys back on track.
Well, yeah, I think that the players that he has on campus believe in him. I mean, Herman is an interesting cat. He's got his own way
How
of doing
so?
Things. Well, he just, he's an in-your-face top coach. He's not, there's no subtlety to Tom Herman.
Kind of like me, right?
Exactly. And kind of like me. Probably get along so well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Herman is the guy that doesn't tiptoe around his guys. He gets in their face and lets them know what he wants, lets them know what he expects, and not afraid to give them a big bear hug or grab around the helmet and slap them on the helmet. And he's a young guy, he's younger than me, and which not saying a lot, but he's a young guy, and he's more in tune with somebody like that than Coach Brown would be. Mac Brown, who is a little bit of an older coach, and you think that that's kind of the way it goes these days. At Oklahoma, you got Lincoln Riley, who can basically dress out those guys. He's still got some eligibility, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I think that's the new trend, is to have these young guys, and he just, Herman has got his finger on the pulse of what Texas needs here now. Let's see if that translates to wins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that translates to wins.
Well, the atmosphere has certainly changed at the University of Texas, a sense of hope, and as we were talking about, a lot of optimism. It's going to be an exciting 2018 season for the Longhorns. Of course, we've been joined by Steve Havel, Horns Illustrated. Check him out, senior contributing writer. Always a true pleasure. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on, Alyssa. Take care.
That, of course, was Steve Havel, Horns Illustrated senior contributing writer. A big thank you to him and all of our amazing guests tonight. Also, our producer, Shay Raftus, who does an amazing job each and every week. See you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. And join us online at Twitter @eRadioSports. Don't drink and drive.